you have your scriptures this evening, if you'd find the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter number 6. If you do not have a Bible, there should be one located in front of you there, and feel free to use it. I have began a study on Sunday nights now using one of the syllabuses from Dr. Adrian Rogers, who has since gone on to be with the Lord, but the Bible says about Abel, though he's dead, yet he speaketh. And Dr. Rogers was probably one of the greatest Bible teachers and Bible preachers to ever walk the face of the earth. How many have seen him on television? Great, you know who he is, and marvelous man of God there at Bellevue Baptist Church. And he wrote a book, Things Every Christian Ought to Know. And I've been using that book as a syllabus and going through that book on things that ought to be a blessing. And in life, things every Christian ought to know to have a life that's full of God's glory and to have an effective life of service and effective life of joy. And so we've taken Sunday nights and we've looked at how to understand the Word of God and help us in our daily devotionals. We've understood the assurance we have of salvation. And tonight, I want to start, and we'll finish next week, a two-part lesson on prayer. How to pray, and we want to go even one step further because I believe most of us in the room would say, Pastor, I already know how to pray so I can go home early tonight. But the problem is how to pray with power. With power. Boy, I tell you, those words captivated my thinking because I do know how to pray. There's times I pray on my knees. There's times I come in here and I'll walk the building and I'll pray. There's sometimes I pray while I'm driving the car. I don't close my eyes at that time. There's sometimes I pray when you're driving the car, amen? And it makes me nervous. But I do believe that there's nothing more important in all the world than for God's people to know how to pray. And I know sometimes when a person gets saved, there's some discussion here. What do we teach a person when they get saved first? Should we teach them what it is about assurance? Should we teach them what it is about obedience? Should we teach them to tithe? That's my personal favorite, being a Baptist preacher. Should we teach them how to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Some certain things that you look at, especially at a new member's class, and say, well, you know, how do we prioritize these? What do we do? But I do really believe the greatest thing we can do or we can teach people is to learn how to pray and how to pray with power. I'll tell you this. You can serve the Lord all your life. You can teach a Sunday school class and you can pastor a church and you can have what would be considered a good family and you can have all the accolades that come to the church or to our responsibility. But if you get to the end of your life and you have not learned how to pray with power, I really do believe that then that's the major failure in our lives today. Do not fall into the trap, and it is a trap, and it's a trap by the enemy. A lot of people, and even myself, will substitute working for God instead of praying. Really and truthfully, when you boil down what is the work of the believer, what is the responsibility of the believer, it boils down to prayer. It's easy to cook a meal and give it in Jesus' name, ladies, but it's hard to pray when you're home in the morning. Guys, it's easy for us to come over here and change light bulbs and mow the grass, and it's easy for us to serve, but it's difficult for us to stop and pray. And a lot of times, we substitute and we kind of sear our conscience a little bit in the fact, well, I'm serving the Lord, Pastor. But let me tell you something. Service without prayer will lack what we've been talking about, and that's power. Because power comes through the prayer and on our knees. And so not only do we need to learn how to pray, but we want to learn to pray with power. I want you just to take a mental assessment of your week last week. About how many minutes did you spend in prayer? Now, Heavenly Father, bless this food that we're about to eat. I pray, God, it not kill me. Amen. That's 1 minute, Pastor. Let's see, I ate 15 meals or so. So I probably spent at least 20 minutes. I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. How many minutes did you stay before the throne of grace, cognizant of what you were doing? A lot of times we get ready to pray and we say, now, Heavenly Father, and we think, oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. Oh, I got, how many minutes were we focused, were we absolutely concentrated on the throne of grace, the access we have by Christ, how many minutes did we spend in prayer? If we're the average Christian, it's less than 5 minutes. You know, imagine that? Less than 5 minutes on our knees or in thought by God in prayer. And so I do believe it's an important lesson for the church to learn, is to learn how to pray. We say, why? Do you understand this? That nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer. Think about that. Think about what we need as a Christian. Think about that, what we need in our lives. You know, the absolute nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer. Think about this. It amazes me that God's people, we only spend, and I lump myself in this because I don't spend the amount of time I should. God, I do better now, but I need to do better. Prayer can accomplish anything that God can do. Think about that. You say, well, Pastor, I really need this to be done in my life. Well, did you pray? Well, you know, Pastor, my marriage is kind of, and so, well, did you pray? Well, Pastor, you know, my kids are kind of, and I tried to do this, and I tried to structure them here, and I did this planning, and I did that. Well, did you pray? See, prayer, now don't miss this. This is introduction, but we need this. Prayer can do anything that God can do. And I ask you this question. Can God do anything? Amen or oh me. Amen. So if God can do anything, prayer is what brings the omnipotence and omniscience and hand of God and makes it possible in my life. And so where we see prayer as to be sometimes tedious and sometimes a distraction because we think we've got a labor over here, and where we don't see involvement and where we don't see progress because we're just on our knees, so we go over here and try to help the Lord out. But we have to remember, we're created beings. We're finite. We're limited. And so we come over here to a situation and we try to bring earth's power and my understanding and my abilities into this situation, forgetting that prayer can do anything God can do. So we understand the importance and the need for that prayer. And in Matthew chapter 6, we find the model prayer, the Lord Jesus teaching us how to pray. And I want to look at that tonight and again next week. And we got 6 points. We're going to give you 3 tonight and save 3 for next week. And we're really going to look at the persons of prayer and the purpose of prayer, the provision of prayer, the pardon that's in prayer, the protection that's in prayer, and the praise that's in prayer. But I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6. Let's begin reading with verse number 9, and it would help if I got to the right chapter. There you go. After this manner, boy, those are important words. Man, those are important words. Everybody wants to start with our Father which art in heaven. But we're going to come back and talk about those words. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, people have done a lot of things with the Lord's Prayer. We've taught it to our children. We've turned it into song. Sometimes we say it at grand events. When I went to Bob Jones University, they used to, before every artist series, they'd stand up and we'd stand up. We'd say the Lord's Prayer. Then I'd go to sleep, wake up when it was over. Amen. But they used the Lord's Prayer for a lot of things. But it's more than just a creed. And it's more than just a greeting. And I want to look at that and go over these with you. I want to go back to these words, after this manner. All right? Now notice what the Lord Jesus says. He's given us some examples. He's given us direction. He's given us understanding. But he's not given us line item by line item. He's not given us precept upon precept. He's not saying, pray this prayer. Sometimes people, the Lord's Prayer is the only prayer they know how to pray. And sometimes you will use the verbiage of the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes it fits our need in a way that we understand it too. But he's not giving us a robotic form and a robotic way to approach the throne of grace. By the way, be cognizant of your robotics when you pray. Be cognizant of that. For example, I was made aware of this the other night. I try to pray with the kids before they go to bed. It depends if I'm angry at them, Beverly, or God, or who. All right? But if we're doing well, I go in there and have prayer with them. And if I'm not careful, I just fall, Heavenly Father, thank you, bless them, keep them a good night's sleep. Amen. And I thought, man, I'm praying for their soul. I'm praying for the will of God in their life. I'm praying for an understanding of God's love. I'm praying for their mate already. And boy, I find myself real quick to get into a robotic situation when it comes to prayer. The Lord Jesus is saying, don't pray this prayer, but after this manner. After this manner. Prayers are, I like what he said here. He said, prayers are not meant to be said. They're meant to be prayed. Let me illustrate it this way. I come over to your house. Let's say I was over at Todd's house the other day. I'm going to use Todd for an example. He's yawning back there. He needs to be used as an example. I went over to Todd's house, and let's say he invites me over, and he says, Pastor, sit on the couch. And I say, okay, man, thank you so much. And Carrie brings me some refreshments like all good visits do, and we're sitting there, and we're supping, and he says, now, Pastor, why'd you come? I said, well, no, Todd, here's why I came. I want you to say a little conversation to me. We don't communicate like that, do we? When we sit down and we talk, you don't say a conversation. Okay, what do I say? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made it safe. Would you like anything to eat? We don't say a conversation. That's not how people converse back and forth. It's not so rigid. It's not so cold as just a regular communication. And so the Lord Jesus is saying, don't turn this prayer into regulation. Don't turn it into rigidness. Don't make it hollow. Don't make it those things. It's a way to communicate. And so he begins to teach us how to pray. Verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. I think the first thing you need to understand if you're going to learn to pray and pray with power is you need to see the person of the prayer. The person of the prayer. He said, when you pray our what? Say it, church. Our Father. Our Father. Really, the persons in prayer is a child and his father. Now you say, Pastor, that's so elementary. When I come to God, I'm speaking to God as my Father. You say, well, man, that's irreverent. I would never take God and see and call him my Father. I would never do that. He's God. If you don't, then we lack biblical understanding. All right? It's imperative that we have biblical understanding. For truly, the God of creation, the God of our Savior, the great God of all eternity is known to me as Father. And who made that possible? Say it, church. The Lord Jesus did. See, when Jesus Christ entered into my heart and birthed me into the kingdom of God, I now become a child of God. Galatians says that the Spirit of God cries, Abba, Father. And so God the Father literally becomes daddy. Daddy. Now, daddy is an endearing word. My girls, when they come to me and they say daddy, daddy, usually they get what they ask for. That's why they don't go to their mother, because they understand that. Prayer is for the child of God. Now, well, Pastor, isn't everybody a child of God? If everybody is a child of God, then how do we answer this verse? In John chapter 8, listen to this verse, in verse 44. Jesus with his own mouth said this, ye are of your father, the devil. Well, if there's some people that are their father is the devil, then obviously not everybody is a child of God. And so to be a child of God, we must be born into God's family. And when I'm born into God's family, then I have the opportunity to say, Father. Now, you will understand that when you understand this and you give yourself to this and you understand that the great God of heaven is your Father, then prayer becomes easy. Important, 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 important. People say, well, Pastor, I just can't pray. If I was to call so-and-so up here and I would say, come up here and pray, you have a heart attack. if we have, would you stand and pray in front of the church? Well, Pastor, you know, I could never pray. And sometimes the ladies even feel, well, Pastor, I could just never pray. And we see it as an ability beyond us. But my friend, listen, anyone who can talk to their earthly father can talk to their heavenly father. Understand that. Understand, prayer is not some cold conversation that's manipulated. It is the child of God talking to the Heavenly Father, and we talk to God out of our heart. For example, when my kids want something, they don't come to me and say, oh, most educated, blessed, reverend of Plantation Baptist Church, would thou please bestow upon us a tenth of all that thou hast, so we could go to the foremost mall and spend it like whatever, all right? They don't talk to me like that. When my kids want something, they come and say, Dad, all right? And believe me, it comes from their heart. Watch. That translates into my understanding of God. Sometimes God's own children have such a distant mentality of God that we don't understand that He is our Father, and our communication comes from our heart to Him. He's interested in us. He sees us. He knows us. He desires to provide for us. And so prayer is the sharing and the communication of my heart. Well, Pastor, how do you have a heart-to-heart with somebody? Well, you're going to have a heart-to-heart with somebody who either you're related to by blood or you're familiar with. And so as I get to know you, I have the capacity to sit down and have a heart-to-heart. The problem with that is this. If we're not careful, most of God's children, we never get to know our Father. And so our conversations are almost, they're almost like introductions for the first time. And so we start to pray, we don't know what to do. And just like when you meet somebody for the first time and you try to carry a conversation, there's awkwardness. My friend, listen, get in the book and read about your Heavenly Father, for He cares for you. Amen? Amen. I'll do my own amen, and that's good. You just listen, and we'll get done quicker that way. And so out of our heart. So the persons of prayer is God the Father and God's child. Now watch. He goes on. After establishing our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, he gives to us in verse number 10 now the purpose of prayer. Why do we pray? We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, I want you to know something. There is no prayer that will ever take place in heaven. People in heaven who've died are not praying. They're praising, but they're not praying. The reason that there's no need for prayer in heaven is because there's nothing broken in heaven. In heaven, God gets His will. In heaven, the will of God is foremost. Even the Lord Jesus came not to do His own will, but the will of Him who has sent me. Prayer has a purpose, and the purpose of prayer is that God's will be done. Now watch. This teaches us how to pray, but how to pray with power. A lot of people think that prayer is just manipulating. We're trying to talk God into giving us something that He doesn't really want to give us. My friend, that's not a biblical understanding of prayer. You can't manipulate God to do anything. And B, it's not that we're trying to fit God's, we're trying to change God's will to fit ours. Prayer is so that we seek God's will, and God's will then can be accomplished on earth. You see, it's seeking the will of God and following it. For example, there's certain things we know about God's will in the Bible. We know He's not willing that any should perish. We know that He's willing that we give thanks even to our sanctification. But there's other things that are not so clear that we have to dig out. For example, should I buy that home? Should I marry that person? Should I go to that college? Should I take this job? Should I go down this path? Should I make this investment with my money? Should I take this position here? You see, understanding the will of God is imperative for us to know how to pray. Let me help you with one other thing. Very rarely, when you're introduced to something in your life that absolutely is beyond you or above you, can you go to prayer immediately. A lot of times, something happens and you'll call me or I'll call somebody or this, and we'll say, you've got to pray, and I want you to pray this. But the reason that we got to be careful there is we're not sure if that's what God's will is or not. Our first prayer when we come into a hard time or come into something shouldn't be for God to do something. It should be, God, what do you want to accomplish and what is your will here? If you'll take the moments and the times to stop yourself and to seek God's will, you'll find you won't pray amiss. You'll find you'll have the mind of God and the heart of God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not really sure that I want God's will in my life. I find sometimes people are afraid of God's will. I find sometimes people see God's will as a drudgery or they have a misunderstanding. Let me talk to you a little bit about God's will. God's will is not a fence to confine us and to bind us. God's will is a land of freedom. It's a marvelous freedom to be in God's will. Sometimes we think, well, if I submit to God, then I'm just going to be the most miserable person in the world. I'll make you a promise. You'll never find anybody miserable in the middle of God's will. You won't. Now, you may find somebody going through deep waters and dark times, but you'll never find anybody miserable in God's will, because when I am in God's will, circumstances and those things, though they be tough, they don't rob me of my joy. So the protection for me is the will of God. And sometimes what young people see as a fence and what older people see as an intrusion is really the most blessed and secure and perfect place in all the world to be, is in the middle of God's will. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know the will of God? Hold your hand here and flip to John. Let me give you a verse. John chapter 15. Look at verse number 7. John chapter 15 and verse number 7 says this: if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, the Lord Jesus here is teaching them how to get answers to their prayer. He's teaching them how to pray with power. He's saying, abide in me, the word will abide in you, and in amongst that abiding is the knowledge of God's will, because the word of God is God's will. And once you've abided, and once the Spirit of God is ministered unto you, once you understand the will of God, then you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So how do I know the will of God? Well, I must abide in Christ. I guess the best way to do this, and Dr. Rogers gives this illustration of prayer, and I've heard other preachers do it. It's a marvelous, marvelous definition of prayer. If you've got a pen, you want to write down these two thoughts, because it's worth, I should charge you $100 for these two thoughts. They're really good. Write them down. Here you go. Number one, understand this. The prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that began in heaven. Write it down. The prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that starts in heaven. Now write this definition of prayer down. The Holy Spirit finding a desire in the heart of the Father and then putting that desire into our hearts and then sending it back to heaven in the power of the cross. God, that's phenomenal. The Holy Spirit finding a desire in the heart of the Father and then putting that desire into our heart and then sending it back to heaven in the power of the cross. See, here's what we understand about prayer. You and I are basically the closing of the circuit to prayer. Any prayer that God hears is a prayer that originated with God. Well, how do you say that, Pastor? Because the only prayer God hears is the prayer according to his will. So if God, according to his will, all right, and his will is found within him, the Spirit of God, who the Bible teaches, searches the heart of God. He finds within the heart of the Father, he finds a desire in the heart of the Father, and then that desire is for us. He puts that desire in our heart, and then we pray in the power of the Spirit, and we send the desire that came from God back to God on the authority of that cross in the resurrection tomb. And so that's why we pray in Jesus' name. So it's imperative. It is imperative to understand the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer and to have power is to bring the will of heaven on earth. And so if I'm gonna know God's will, I've gotta abide in Jesus Christ. And as I abide, and as I spend time in the Word, and as I spend time in meditation, and as I spend time submitted to the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God finds within the heart of God desire for me, and then he prompts me, and then I pray in Jesus' name, and the thought that comes from God is circulated through me, through the power of Spirit, sent back to God and the power of the cross, and whatsoever I ask in his name according to his will, I know that he does what, church? Heareth me. And so that is the power of prayer. That's so much better than saying, now, Heavenly Father, I'd like you to do this. Heavenly Father, and based on our own assumption, now we pray with power because we pray according to the Word of God. If you understand that, say amen. All right, the rest of you, chew a little while, and we'll get that down, and we'll rehearse it a little bit later. The purpose of prayer, then, is your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, Pastor, I thought the purpose of prayer was so my kid wouldn't be sick anymore. Well, Pastor, I thought that the purpose of prayer was so that I would be blessed. And I thought the purpose of prayer was so that my needs could be met. No. If we'll understand that the purpose of prayer is so the will of heaven can be done on earth in my life, that elevates prayer to me to a remarkable place. Thirdly, not only do you have the persons of prayer, and not only do you have the purpose of prayer, but he also tells us in verse number 11 that there's provision in prayer. Verse number 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord is telling us in a very practical way that he will provide our needs. Now, let me say two things about this verse that'll help us with prayer. He said, give us this what? Day, or what kind of bread? Daily bread. Now, Christian, we're so prone and programmed to think about tomorrow. When the Lord Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. And a lot of times, our prayers are so future that we forget about today. Why do we forget about today? A lot of times we forget about today because we really don't need to pray to make it through the day. But God, I think about my own life. Sometimes my prayer is so future, and I'm trying to plan for the future, and I'm looking toward the future, and I'm looking toward those things. Jesus said, no. When you pray, give me my daily bread. Why? Do not forget that Christianity is a day-by-day process. Why? Why should I only be concerned with day-by-day? Because concerned only about the day focuses you and I and makes you and I live by faith. See, faith brings about daily provision. He said, look at those little, the lilies toiling and the birds. They don't care about that. They're relying on me now. And so he says in his provision here, in his powerful prayer, give us this day our daily bread. It's a practical way that the Lord Jesus says, I will provide for you. Now, while you're finding Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19, I want to say something about the practicality of the Lord Jesus. Make no bones about it, and make sure that you understand that God does provide our needs in a very practical way. Say, Pastor, is God concerned of whether I have food to eat? Yes, he is. Is he concerned whether I have clothes to wear? Yes, he is. Is he concerned about my practical things? Yes, he is. He's the God who desires to meet our every need. Now, what I believe to be one of the greatest verses in the Bible is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19. He says, Paul writing here to this little church at Philippi, this mission-giving church, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we understand that. We know this verse. We quote this verse. Sometimes we grab hold of this verse when it's all that we have to hold on to. But I want to just dissect it here a little bit to encourage us here in the provision of prayer. Notice what the verse does not say. It does not say, my God shall supply all your wants. It also doesn't say that my God shall supply all your wants out of the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The two imperative words there are the word need and the word according. Pastor, why doesn't God give me all my wants? Well, there's times when we want things we don't need, and there's times we need things we don't want. It doesn't say that God's going to give me all my wants. It says he's going to give me all my needs. Well, what about that verse in Psalms? This is everybody's kicker. Delight myself in the Lord, and he'll give me the desires of my heart. Desires aren't wants. We confuse desire with the word want. Desire is not want. Want is based on flesh. Want is based on what society says I need. Want is based on what I think I need. Desire is that which is based upon a man who's delighted himself in the Lord Jesus. So sometimes people say, well, God, man, Pastor, God will give me all I want because he said that. No, what God said was he would give you the desires of your heart, and those desires would be founded on a man who's delighted himself. But I'm not going to be able to pray and just pray for wants that would be heaped upon my flesh in my direction. It also doesn't say that he will supply out of the riches of in glory by Christ Jesus, but it says according to those riches. Well, what's he saying here? He's saying that, and what's the difference? The difference is this. Let me take the richest person in here. Who do I think is the richest person in here? Noah Stratton, you are the richest person in here, all right? Just for this one illustration. If Noah's a multimillionaire, and I had a need, and Noah saw that I had a need, and I'm walking around the church, and Noah says, Pastor, what's your need? You got something heavy on your heart. And I said, well, you know, Noah, I'm going through some things, and I got some needs here and some financial things. He says, here, I want to help you. Here's $10. $10. Now, I ask you a question. In today's world, is $10 going to go very far? No. If a millionaire says, I financially want to be a blessing to you, and he gives me $10, does that compute with us? Is that what our expectation is? Shake your head, yes or no. You say, I don't know any millionaires, Pastor. It never happened to me. I don't know how to shake my head. Shake it, no. All right? Now, watch. That's giving out of. But if a millionaire says, you know what, God's blessed me, and I'm going to be a blessing to you, when you go home, do you expect $10 or do you expect $10,000? Come on, be truthful. Say it. $10,000. Because you expect him to give according to his riches. Okay, so the Lord Jesus here, Paul says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Now I ask you a question. How rich is Christ Jesus? Pretty rich, isn't he? So if he's going to give according to the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine, then does God, yes or no, church, have the capacity to meet any need that I have? Amen. Okay? So God doesn't tip us, and God doesn't give out of his riches. He gives according to those riches. So when I pray, God, give me this day my daily bread, I am given, he gives to me according to all that he has. Well, I want you to know something. He can provide for my family a lot better than I can provide on my salary. And according to his riches is a lot better than anything that I could do. And so Paul's writing here and backing up the provision of prayer. Now, I want to go back to verse number 11 because I want to help you with one other thought. Give us this day our daily bread. Sometimes I want you to understand that this verse is not implying that all we can pray for is bread or food. Anything you have need, you can pray. I wrote some thoughts down. Do you need a job? Do you need a house? Do you need a spouse? That rhymes, so I just came up with that. All right. Do you need a spouse? Do you need love? Do you need kindness? Do you need acceptance? Do you need friends? You see, God can give me my daily bread, but God can give to me all the need of my heart. And so don't just fall into the trap of saying, hey, we can only pray for these things. James said, you have not because you ask not. You ask not. So I ask you, those of you who want to be married, prayed and asked? Let me ask those of you who want a job, have you prayed? Let me ask those of you who need a house, have you prayed? Let me ask those, we work, but we forget to pray. Now, let me make some final application. We'll go home. Number one, there is a difference between God's creation and God's child. If you've never been born again, you do not have the capacity to pray. Prayer is a child-father relationship. Not everybody born of woman is a child of God. You better be born from above, born again. That brings you to the family to be a child of God. Number two, do you talk to your Heavenly Father from your heart? If you talk from your heart, it means that there's an ongoing developing relationship. When's the last time you sat down and poured your heart out to God? Number three, the purpose of prayer is that I am to seek the will of God in all my praying. So my first prayer is not, God, do this in my life. My first prayer is, God, what's your will while I'm going through this? God, my wife walked out. God, my job quit. God, my kid's sick. God, what's your will here? I want to know the will before I know how to pray. So I pray for God's will. Do you understand that God desires to meet your needs? Are you cheating yourself by failing to pray? Here's what I want to do, and I want to close up tonight. Purpose of prayer, the persons of prayer, and the provision of prayer. How many, just in front of everybody, how many would say, Pastor, I would never say what it is, but by the lifting of my hand, I have a need. I have a need right now in my life. Whether that need is physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial, whatever it is, Pastor, I have a need in my life right now. Let me see your hand. Okay. Now here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I'm going to go on record and I'm going to stand on the word of God, and God's going to either do it and keep his word or he's not. It's up to him. But I'm going to challenge you to stop and take a moment and search out the will of God in your need. Think about that need. Now, if you just raised your hand and you didn't even think about it, but think about that need. Get you a Bible. Get you a Bible that's got a concordance. If you don't have a Bible that has a concordance, get you a concordance. You don't have a concordance, come see me. I got 36 of them. You can have one. And I want you to take the need that you have. Let's say you need love. And I mean a godly love. I mean a love that's not based on society. I mean an agape godly love. You take that concordance, you begin to read God's will about love. Let's say you need friends. You're lonely. You take that concordance, you begin to look up those words about friends. You find out what God's word says about that and what God's will is. And then I challenge you to ask God, according to his will, to make it real in your life. And I tell you this, whatsoever we ask according to his will, we have confidence that he will hear us. But the reason that most of us lack is because we do not take the time to ask God in prayer. If you're a child of God, say amen. Then you have the authority to find out what God's will is about what you need. And go to God and say, God, based on my study, based on prayer, this is what I believe that is your will in my life. I lack this. I have need. You said you'd give me, you'd supply all my needs. I ask you in Jesus' name to keep your word and provide for me this need. And then when God does give that to you, I want you to come and tell me about it. I want you to come and tell me about it, and we'll give God praise and glory. Amen? The persons of prayer, purpose of prayer, and the provision of prayer. Next week, we'll hit the other three. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, power, how to pray with power. Imperative that we learn that. Imperative that we practice that. Probably less than 5 minutes than most of us spend in true concentrated prayer. Probably less than 5 minutes. Think about that. 24 hours in a day, all of those minutes, 1,440 some minutes in a day, and we only spend maybe 5 minutes a week in prayer. God, that's not right. No wonder we're so lacking. No wonder we have such great needs. No wonder we think that you've forgotten about us. It's not that you've forgotten about us. We forgot to pray. Now, man, if I'm a child of God, I'm blood-bought, redeemed. I have the authority to enter into the throne of grace in Jesus' name. I can come. I can find help, mercy. God, what access. And then to understand that purpose. It's not that purpose is wishful. That purpose is based on the will of God. And I pray the will of God on earth. You want to accomplish your will on earth, but it takes prayer. And then God, to know the provision of prayer. We have such great needs. God, people who live in South Florida, we have greater needs than even some people in the rest of the world. But yet, you still will provide our daily bread. God, my prayer for God's people is this week, we would study. We'd be Berean Christians. We would sit down. We would find out your will about what we're going through. And we would pray. We would ask. And we would see the mighty hand of our God meet our every need. God, help us to be men and women of prayer. Thank you for the people. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for the great crowd tonight. God, I just pray that we'd continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our God. In Jesus' name, amen.